June 6, 2019, it's the Walk from Pedro Show. Thank you. Papa Pedro Show. Brother Matt, how are you?
Good, good.
We got the June gloom. We're fully into the June gray gloom layer.
Got
right?
that working. We got the workmen working next door.
That's
cranking.
Right.
So
next
we'll probably hear some flavor in the background.
The little grotto's getting dug up.
Hopefully it's lunchtime for those guys.
But we need the pipes, right?
Yeah,
the
yeah. Got to bring the water. Need some...
right, like Scotty, when Captain Jerk asks Scotty for some warp drive, and, you know, hey, the toilet's
backed up. You know,
that's
why
you got to do
got.
Shit like this. we started off with All or Nothing by John Coltrane, and then Trinary System with Bob. Yeah, this features our guest, Brother Matt.
Yeah, welcome.
Miracle of those Estonian software engineers with their Skypeware. We got Roger Miller.
Yeah.
You're talking to us from Vermont?
I'm talking, yeah, it's kind of like that. There's a forest around me. No tigers where I am, though, you know, just bears and stuff.
The real Roger Miller.
In Vermont. Guilford, Vermont.
Guilford.
Where I live. Yeah.
What big town is what big town is Guilford by?
The closest is Brattleboro, but that's about 12,000 people, so I wouldn't call it a big town.
Okay, so are you far from Burlington?
Yeah, we're about 3 hours from Burlington and only 2 hours from Boston, so I'm really close.
So you're in the south part of Vermont.
Yeah, at the very bottom.
Okay. At the bottom, if you put the map up.
If you put the map up, and you north is upwards, you know.
Yeah. The Australians probably don't dig that, but what do they call that? The Antipodes, the Antipodes. Roger. I mean, I remember first meeting you at the Channel. Us and Husker played there. Do you remember that gig?
Yeah. I was a total Minuteman fan.
Now, those days, the Channel, punk was on Sundays. And in fact, not Sunday night, because heavy metal was later. So you would play it kind of in the afternoon. And Andrew, the guy running, a Southie guy running the pad, I could get you beers, because on Sundays in those days, you couldn't buy beers in Massachusetts. New Hampshire was making all the money.
That's a fact.
So I remember that, and I remember talking to you right after we got done playing. I guess Gangrene opened up, but Mr. Doherty didn't even last one tune. He kept hollering Budweiser, and Budweiser won.
He could get a little over the top on occasion.
But tell me, because you're not actually a Boston guy, because I learned from 125 months with the Stooges, you actually have foundation in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah, that's where I grew up. You know, I saw the MC5 the first time they played Ann Arbor from Detroit. I was in 10th grade. It was like the MC5's first time in Ann Arbor, where they moved to later.
Yeah, they ended up moving there. Well, can you tell me your earliest musical recollection?
Well, my dad played piano. Like, he played classical piano before he decided to study fish. Like, his specialty was studying fish to live in the desert.
Whoa.
So my family, every summer we'd go out to the deserts, you know, like Nevada, Arizona, Utah, and dig for fossils and compare them to the live fish in these little isolated ponds and shit.
Okay.
But he was also a piano player, so you got two contrapuntal things going on in the skull.
Sure. Yeah. What in the pad? Did you guys have a piano in the living room?
Yeah, piano in the living room. I started playing piano at age 6, and my dad would play classical music, you know, sometimes Mozart, but sometimes Firebird Suite by Stravinsky, you know, stuff like that while we were going to sleep, and I always dug that.
Did you have a piano teacher?
Yeah, we had a piano teacher.
Now, what was the experience? Because we've had guests on where it was that they almost chased them for music. Other people, it was the greatest thing in the world.
The beginning of it was fine because it's pretty simple. And then I got, by like sixth grade, fifth grade, I got these really rigid teachers. But, you know, this was before the Beatles hit. So, you know, the Beatles didn't hit for me until I was in sixth grade. So I didn't have any particular reason to not like classical music until, you know, the Beatles did Roll Over Beethoven. Then all of a sudden.
Well, what about Little Richard?
Well, you know, I was just in fifth grade and Little Richard was this little thing I heard in my ears. You know, I didn't.
It's weird how the England people had to be ambassadors to the U.S. people to sell them back their own music.
It's completely bizarre. But, yeah, I mean, I was one of the kids that watched the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, that first show, and literally the day before that, I was just the kid who played piano and wandered around and, like, be outside. And within that 2.5 minutes, I was a rocker, and I'm just, you know, as you know now, I have a new rock album, and I'm 67. So
absolutely, so. We played Bike. You know, when I first played that song, I thought it was going to be a cover of Syd Barrett's tune.
Not at all. You see, there's an exclamation point on
that's
there.
That's right. That's what I noticed later.
Different title.
I know Watt's got to pay attention. I'm a slow learner. Okay. Roger, what was the first record you bought for yourself?
First record I bought for myself was I Want to Hold Your Hand.
By the Beatles.
I mean, literally, I'm the cliche of the cliche of the cliche of kids that age. Like, that was the ticket for me into the world that I lived for the rest of my life.
Well, what about this? What was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw, probably, like, live, you know, maybe like a ninth grade hop. I think that was the first band. I later on met these guys and knew who they were, and I'm still friends with some of them. But they were a couple years older than me, so, you know, when you're in ninth grade, that's a pretty big difference, or maybe eighth grade. And I remember they were doing,
yeah.
Like,
even,
It's My
even
Life.
1 or 2 years was huge in those days.
Yeah, in those days, it's huge. But yeah, like, they were doing It's My Life. I watched his hand, and I go, so that's how you make a bar chord. And as soon as I walked back home, I figured it out, and that was like a major transition for me.
So you watched the guitar player.
Yeah.
And, so you wanted to get off the piano.
Oh yeah, by then I was wanting to rock. You know, piano, I was off of piano by then. By seventh grade, I stopped taking piano lessons. I thought piano was just bullshit, classical music. And then by ninth or tenth grade, you
know, it's funny because piano is actually more rock and roll than guitar is.
It's very rock and roll, but it took me a bit. But it was like, you know, when the Doors and Pink Floyd, you know, Piper the Gibson.
Oh, sure.
Is playing, and I was like, wow, you know, and then I would pick out Kink songs on the piano, and then all of a sudden, well, damn, I've got my own thing going on the piano.
Roger, did you do anything at school, like the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was, in ninth grade, I was first chair French horn in
French
the concert.
French horn?
Yeah, concert band and concert orchestra. So I would rather play music than do anything else, basically.
You know another rock and roller who did French horn?
I certainly do.
John Entwistle, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In ninth grade, My Generation came out, and I had my first band, and I was a bass player in my first rock band, and I was also a French horn player. So I was glued on that.
Well, I think there's a French horn solo in Pictures of Lily.
Pictures of Lily, also that one called Instant Party on the first.
Instant Party, yeah, it's also called Circles. It's got different names, different mixes.
Circles, yeah.
Yeah, great, Circles, great, right?
Yeah.
Something with Shell Tamley, something with management. Anyway, so you actually was on the bass. How did you get on the bass? What was your first bass?
My first bass was an airline, a really cheap.
I remember airline, yeah. They made for Monkey Ward and stuff.
Made for Monkey Ward. Right. And it was shaped like a Hofner Beetle bass.
Yeah, also a Supro and shit like that.
Yeah. And the first band I had was in my ninth grade, which was spring 67. You know, we're doing Elevators, Yardbirds, and shit. And so I put the band together, and one guy was a really good lead guitarist. Wow. And my brother Ben liked to play guitar, so I said, well, I don't want to play rhythm guitar. I'll play the bass, because I was the singer, too. So I became a bass player. I was primarily a bass player in rock bands or bands.
What was your first amp?
My first amp was a Electrolab. I think you could buy out of the Sears catalog too, but you know, I can't remember.
Man, people don't know that us bass guys were hurting in the old days for equipment.
Well, I love bass, you know, and I still play bass sometimes if it's required, and I mean I love it. I think like a bass player really. It took me quite a while to think more like a guitarist.
Did you use pick or fingers or both?
I would use both, but I was mostly a pick guy. Mostly.
Because John Entwistle used both.
Yeah.
He would use both. He would put even slapping in the same fucking tune.
he was incredible.
He really was. And you know what Roddy and Scotty told me living there in Ann Arbor was in those days, in the 60s, England would bring their bands in through Canada, through Windsor. So they got to see... Ronnie told me about seeing Jimmy at a place called the Fifth Dimension.
Maybe 100
people were there, and no one would go to the front of the stage.
You know, Mike, I was one of the 100 people at that time.
Oh, wow, okay. Ronnie said he actually went up to the front of the stage, and he saw Mitch Mitchell had a bucket on each side of him. You know, he's the drummer man. One bucket had Budweiser's, and the other bucket for was him puking in every other song.
They played two sets. I don't know which one I was at, but I remember. Like, I had tickets to see the Yardbirds, and they broke up, and so the replacement was Jimi Hendrix, who I'd never heard.
That's what they told me. And Jimmy was wearing a marching band jacket.
Yes.
He
came out of the dressing room smoking a cigarette, you know, playing left-handed, doing a raga sustained feedback solo as he walked out of the dressing room. And literally, at that moment, everybody in that room died and was reborn. I wasn't able to say that. That completely changed my life, just watching him walk out of the dressing room.
Look, I want to play this song here, Hovering.
Oh, cool.
You want to say something about it? Were you guys hovering?
Yeah, I like it. It's kind of twisted, but it's kind of like a pop element. The middle section is like all these, it's a kind of an improv-y thing, but there's the themes that kind of melt from one to the next. It's not real rigid. We're not just jamming on one riff. It's something I'd always wanted to do since Sprott and Lair, and I finally got it right with this Trinary System song, Hovering.
Bitchin'. Let's listen.
Down to the ground. You are the morning. we could.
We can make
That reminds me, because once I asked Ig about the Doors, he said, Mike, I saw them twice. First time the singer was stoned. Second time they were good.
Yeah.
Not a lot of words with Ig. Anyway, we just heard Hovering from a Trinary System. Alice Bag, brand new. Breadcrumbs. Sarah Artizzoni out of Italy doing Morning Star, which is a Grand Heart tune in memory of Brother Grand Heart. Rent Party, brand new out of Chicago with Red Cells. Lauren out of New York City with 555-5555. Maybe a phone number. Blood Quartet out of Barcelona with New York City Limits. Now, South London, Strong Urge, guided by Voices. Bob Pollard working on his 104th album, I think. We can make music. I think for New Year's, he's going to play the fucking Roxy and do 100 songs.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. He's a trip. And then finally, Trinary System with Infinity in a Box, which I was thinking of Mr. Who's the guy from South America, but he was a librarian in Switzerland? The Aleph. What's the Aleph? All the whole world in a fucking little piece of something. Borges. Luis Borges. Yeah, that's what.
Oh, Borges.
Yeah.
You're fucking awesome. That's what I thought you were going to say, but then I thought you weren't going to say it.
Yeah, because I'm all fucked up. I can't shit. My memory's shot to hell and everything. But anyway, that's why I was thinking of the Aleph.
Aleph. Got it. Right. I know the story.
You spell it A-L-E-P-H.
I know the story.
Okay, yeah. Right. He wrote short stories mainly.
Really short.
Kind of a nod to Mr. Dante, Mr. Joyce. Don't tell him that because he said you're totally wrong. Well, he's not here to defend himself anyway. So how long were you in Ann Arbor?
Until I moved to Boston, really. Like, I went to college here and there, but I was a perpetual dropout, you know. So I was at CalArts. I was a composition major in
1970. Wow, that's here.
Right north of L.A. in Valencia.
On your way to the grapevine.
Yeah, on the way to the grapevine before you heard it through. But I mean, I sometimes think, like, what if I had stayed in L.A. and, you know, gotten a degree in 76, and then I started to pick up on what was going down in 77, 78, and I would have been in L.A. instead of Ann Arbor or Boston. Like, how would it have changed my, you know, entry into the punk rock universe?
The germs.
I would have been at the show, probably, you know.
Totally. I can imagine. But instead, what happened was you ended up in Boston. And they had a scene pretty early, maybe before us.
I came to Boston in 70, early, like January 78, and I had already had ringing in my ears from punk rock and the Monsters in Ann Arbor. I said, I'm just going to go to Boston, become a piano technician, I'm not going to play any music. And then there was a scene here that was, you know, in Boston, where I'm in Vermont at the moment, but, you know, there was like these posters, the shit was happening, there was a band called The Girls, I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Sure. I know about The Girls.
Incredible band. I kept playing with David afterwards. And I said, this is just too good.
You know who turned me on to The Girls was Steve Stain.
Oh, yeah.
He lives up in NorCal, I think the city.
I see him every time I'm out there. I played on his first record that you guys put out.
The Brain Feels No Pain.
Pain Feels No Pain.
Right, then you did a single later called What Makes Donna Twirl.
That wasn't with David Hill. Maybe it was with Hill, and it makes me blurry. I can't remember.
But he loved, and I know that there was kind of a connection with the Perubu Cats.
Oh, yeah, because they produced, Thomas produced the first girl single.
So there's a big healthy scene there. You're going to give up the piano technician.
Yeah, and I just said, fuck it, I've got ring in my ears, but this is my last chance. I always felt like I had one good rock album in me, at least. And so I just said, fuck it, you know, I'm just going to go for it. I called up, I joined the Moving Parts. I thought the ad said they needed a bass player. So I said, I called up and said, I'm a bass player, and I'm ready to play. And he goes, well, we don't need a bass player, we need a guitarist. I said, okay, then I'll be the guitar player.
Okay.
if that's the reason I'm the guitar player now, if they needed a bass player, I'd probably still be a bass player.
Wow, what a trip. So no, that was the fork in the road.
That was the fork right there, man.
Okay.
And I didn't even know it was a fork. I just was like...
And what was that experience? You're playing with cats you never met before?
Yeah. It was the moving parts. It was like Eric Lindgren was the leader. He later was in Birdsongs of the Mesozoic.
Sure, sure.
But Clint was the bass player, Clint Conley.
Which ended up the bass man of Mission of Burma.
Yeah, he ended up being... And I remember I knocked on the door... And they were cranking the Ramones when I came over to audition. And I walked in, and, you know, the Ramones were on, so I started doing this kind of spazzy dance as I walk in. And Clint comes out of the kitchen doing the exact same spazzy dance.
Like he was almost scripted.
I've never even seen him before, and I've already bonded with him.
Oh, really, wow. Now, was Peter in this proj?
Nah, okay. He was not.
Okay, so how long did this go on? The moving parts.
About less than a year. There was too many conflicting directions, and me and Clint wanted to do something more raw. Okay. And so me and Clint kind of broke the band up. I mean, the band just folded on its own. And then we auditioned for drummers, finally got Pete, and then my Ann Arbor friend, Martin Swope, he was in town doing some tape loop stuff, and I was doing some tape loop experiments with him. And I said, hey, why not have him in the band? You know?
Who came up with the name, Roger?
Clint, but it's a real building. It's a building called the Mission of Burma in New York City.
Okay, like if you were having some kind of charity or some.
Well, I think it's more political than that.
Oh, okay.
Not so much a charity, but he was walking around looking for a name, and his girlfriend said, "Well, what about that, the Mission of Burma?" And he knew that was the name. It took me and Pete a while to agree with him, but he was right. I gotta say, he was right. It's a good name.
Well, what do you think? Does it reflect you three guys?
I think what it's cool about it is that, particularly in those days, Burma was a closed off country, so no one knew anything about it.
Right.
So
right.
It had this sense of mystery and slight, you know, sinisterness.
Right.
You know. And all that kind of shit, which is, you know, fit Mission of Burma pretty well. Like, who knows, why are these guys even here? What the hell are they doing?
Right. And so what'd you think about when they changed the name to Myanmar?
I mean, I know why they, it was like a right political move, so I didn't like it.
Absolutely. I was just curious about that. I always wanted to ask it, but didn't want to say.
Yeah.
Kind of stupid, like I should have known, but I just didn't know. So what was the first Mission of Burma gig like?
We played, it was April Fool's Day. Lou Miami was a really interesting character in the underground scene in Boston. Every about once a month he'd have a thing called Lou Miami's Transfusion. And it would be all new bands. You know, in those days, like 79, 78, this was 79 for us, April Fool's Day, 79. Perfect. It's like seven new. It was D Boone's birthday.
Yeah, it's April 1st.
Awesome. Perfect. But every you know, once a month it'd be seven new bands. Like I'm sure it was like that everywhere, you know, in the U.S. at that time.
Sure.
And that was our first gig, and we played, you know, four or five songs, a bunch of stuff I'd written for the Moving Parts, which included Max Ernst, a couple other ones. Clint had All World Cowboy Romance was already in it by then. And we did the song that I wrote for the Moving Parts called Smoldering Fuselage, which was all like hyper surrealist lyrics. You know, just outside the house that's dead is the opening line. the girl who's the singer in Human Sexual Response, which is another really great Boston band at the time, she said she loved the lyrics to that song.
They turned into Golden Birds, right?
Yeah, I can't care what they did. But she explained to me the words. I asked her to tell me the words, and she told me all the words she heard, and they were completely different from what I'd written. And they were just as good or better, and I feel bad that I didn't write them down.
Well, that happened to me with Jimmy, you know. Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
It happens all over, you know.
We're at the end of the first hour, June 6, 2019. Special guest Roger Miller, hold tight for hour two. June 6, 2019, it's second hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
when you're walking up to me there. But I'm all interested in what lies behind the surface. It's just a surface. I lead a modular life.
No. Thank you. Sitting on a sofa named Sven, simulated leather, artificial conversation. Or maybe we met, but we're not sure when. I really didn't want to come, it was more of an obligation. I really didn't know her that well, she was more of a friend, of a friend, of a friend. Oh no, she always spoke highly of you. She said, I can tell him anything, absolutely anything. You should meet him, you should. She said, you were cool. She said, he's my best girlfriend. Girlfriend. Wow, she said that about me. I'm touched. I really should have brought a dish of something, but I see there's already too much. I never know what to bring these days. Vegetarians should be shot. No, I didn't know she was vegan. Guess it's better that I forgot to bring something. She always spoke highly of you. She said, I can tell him anything, absolutely anything. You should meet him, you should. She said you were cool. She said he's my best girlfriend. My best girlfriend. So I guess that's who I am. So send me all your damaged, dinged up girls and I'll glue them back together again. Whatever's left over, I'll keep for myself until I get enough to be something other than a wrong writer, a wrong writer. Watch where you park your glass. Everything's so expensive. Maybe we should mingle. That clam stuff looks edible. How late are you gonna stay? Wanna get a drink or coffee later? Give a sign if you wanna slip away. You know that thing with your hand. Know the other thing. You know she always spoke highly of you too. She said I can tell her anything, absolutely anything. You should meet her, you should. She said you were cool. She said she's my best boyfriend. My best boyfriend. Yeah, I guess that's who I am. So send me all your bitter, banged up boys and I'll glue them back together again. Whatever's left over, I'll keep for myself until I get enough to be something other than a wrong writer, a secret keeper, a wrong writer, wrong writer. She called as I was going to bed. I couldn't hang up. It would have been rude. I got this really big problem, she said. And I knew you'd be awake, cause you don't work. Tell me all about it, I'm ready to listen. Tell me all about it, I'm ready to listen. I can fix anything, absolutely anything. Okay. So how do you know if you're dead? How do you know if you're dead? I think I might be dead. How do you know if you're dead?
Volume of Aaron's story.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Trinary System doing Modular Life. Modular. Mm. And then Ned Collette, Australian living in Berlin, doing June. I thought it was kind of appropriate because we're in June.
Yeah, perfect.
See, song titles are important, people. I don't know why they're put on last. You know, I always start with song titles. That's my songwriting process, yeah. So I got some kind of focus. Chris Butler out of Akron was awake after that. High Five Club from Toulon, France with Aron Stories. Telomere Repair, Open David, and out on Route 5, Trinary System. I was trying to guess which Route 5 that was, Roger.
I can tell you, I was coming back. Route 5 is right. It's a small road, like a US 5, and it connects Massachusetts.
Oh, I know where it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes right up there. I was coming back. What's that?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York.
Yeah. Actually, this Route 5 doesn't go into New York. It's Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont.
Ooh. Wrong. So,
but there's Route 5s everywhere. You know,
maybe it's US 6.
It could be US 6.
Yeah.
I'm kind of seeing it.
I think US 3 is out on the New Jersey side. But, you know, I'm about to do my 67th tour, if you call it tour, more than a month. And very lame that I can't bring you along because the fucker got booked too soon. But I'm going to do another one in 2021, and we're going to play some gigs together.
I'd be totally honored. It's great. Burma played with you guys in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Back to Fillmore. But that was the second man, so the organ band, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was
Love that gig.
So, me too. You were doing the opera based on The Sickness, you know?
That's right.
And I was just like, this is incredible shit. Cause I hadn't heard
we also stuff. Played with you at the El Rey, and I think we did 1970.
Yes. I'm hearing that now in the back of my head.
Yeah, some Stooges. So tell me, what is the germ? What was growing in the Petri dish to give birth to the Trinary System?
Well, you know, when Burma reformed, initially I wanted to do something different than we had done. But, you know, it really was Burma is Burma. And we picked up right where we left off, and those guys, we were right to do that. But, you know, as it went along, there's a very specific sound and a very specific way Burma worked. And I wanted to kind of free my guitar playing up from that exact post-punk environment. And that was the origin of Trinary System, just something for me to play guitar differently from Burma.
It's still pretty rock and power trio stuff, though.
Oh, yeah, it's still a power trio. But you know, and there's elements, you know, you could tell the guitar player stole a lot of shit from the guy in Burma. You know?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But the band doesn't sound like Burma. The bass player is very different. The drummer is very different. Even, you know, the vocals.
Tell us about the bassy and drum.
Well, the drummer, Larry Dersch, he played in my band Binary System, which had one record on SST, recorded live at the Idea Room, which was really totally blast. Greg rented us a Steinway Grand, and we played three nights in a row and recorded every night, made a live album. He's an incredible drummer. He normally plays in bands where he plays kind of laid back, but when he plays with me, you can't do that kind of shit with me. So he was the guy. I mean, he could take anything I dished out with us, like, you know, Binary System had a lot of classical elements and, like, jazz elements, and so I knew he was the drummer I wanted, and mercifully he said yes. And the bass player, Andrew Willis, he's mostly a guitarist, but he'd done some production for the group that I'm in called Alloy Orchestra that does silent film accompaniment.
Sure, yeah, where they play an old-timey movie, and then you guys kind of back it up with music.
Yeah, silent film. We play, you know, the Academy of Motion Pictures sometimes in L.A.
Sure.
And he had produced some of our stuff, and the way he was talking, you know, sometimes he was saying weird shit, and I was like, well, what do you do? And then he played me some of his stuff, and then it intrigued me, and then when I decided I wanted to do something else with my guitar playing, I asked him to play bass, because I knew he wasn't really a bass player. And that's, you know, it's... I wanted to do something like that. Like, my model was kind of the Jimi Hendrix experience where the bass player was
Noel Redden.
Yeah, but I didn't want a Noel Redden guy who thought that he's supposed to, like, hold it down. I wanted somebody who was going to, like, fuck fuck me up, you know, to keep me on my toes.
Well, from what I read was Noel Redden thought he was actually going to play guitar. And,
that's right.
Yeah. And so, but Jimmy just liked the way he was dressed. He never heard him play one note.
And said, he's the guy.
Yeah.
He's got the hair, man.
He's got the hair. And then, after a while, he got tired of him. I think he wanted his army buddy, Billy Cox, right?
Yeah, Billy Cox, he's good, too.
Yeah, I dig him. I think he's got a pawn shop in Nashville. You can meet him. And I love Band of Gypsies. I love all the Jimmy. You know, they're all different things.
Yeah, Band of Gypsies is incredible.
So when's the first time all three of you guys played together? Was it just a gig, a practice?
We played T.T. the Bears, where you've played a lot of times.
Sure, I heard they closed it.
Yeah, they did. Middle East took it over.
Okay.
It's not the same anymore, I'll say that much.
That was Cambridge. There. I'm going to play in a park called Somerville.
Yeah, Somerville. You're playing at the Once Lounge? Or the Once
Ballroom.
Once Ballroom, yeah. We're playing there Saturday. We're playing the smaller room at the Once for our record release show.
I've never been there. You like it?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. You'll like it. It's good.
Because I don't want to play that Brighton place anymore. I got treated bad last time.
Oh, really? not the Sinclair. Was it the Sinclair or was it the Brighton Ballroom?
Yeah, the second one there.
Brighton Ballroom. Burma played there years ago, and I enjoyed it, but, you know, that was my only experience there, so.
Okay. I had some good ones, but not the last time, so.
That's too bad.
Usually what I've learned about touring is, you play somewhere lame once. Unless you're really stupid. Or maybe desperate. Anyway, right. What was that gig like at TT's?
You know, there was about 40 people there, so it wasn't very well attended. But I just wanted the band to start playing, you know.
Yeah, but what was the chemistry between you three? You thought, whoa, this is a band that can do gigs.
I already, it's weird, we developed much slower, but I knew from the very first rehearsal that these were the guys to play with. But at our first gig, the only song I'd really written for the band was that song Bite, which you played, that you thought was going to be the
same. Right.
It was such
a rocking record. You guys play so well together.
Yeah, but when we started, it was just like I pulled up just various songs of mine I'd written, and I wrote a couple new ones. And so it was kind of my side project, and the more we played, the more I figured out what was good about us, and I listened to my friends that were in the audiences saying stuff, like the guy who did the album art for our new album, Lights in the Center of Your Head. He had some comments.
That's a great artwork.
he's like fucking good, Wayne. So I just started listening, and I started to realize our first show also we did a Miles tune, Black Satin.
Oh yeah.
You know? Yeah, we did that, and I was like, God, we can do that. We can do this jammy shit. We can do tight shit. But it took a while to figure out who we were, kind of. But by the time we recorded this record, Lights in the Center of Your Head, we are Trinary System. It's no longer Roger Miller's side project. It's a fucking band. Even though I'm writing the songs, they're all written for the band, and the band is kicking me to do the right work. To do the right thing. You know?
No, I can kind of relate, you know, just because your name on it, so you're letting people know who to blame.
Right.
There's something about a band making its own identity.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree.
It's a great fucking thing.
Yeah, and you know, if you aren't playing with people that are going to kick you in the ass, and like you walk up there, and you know, I'm sauntering on stage with my guitar, like I'm going to lay out some heavy licks, and then those guys back there are kicking my ass. I go, great, I got to keep working. Now.
Yeah.
I don't be no slack motherfuckers. So.
I like that philosophy.
Yeah.
You know what else also I like is Brother Matt bringing the spin side.
Cool, very cool.
Spin it up.
Thank you. the test, because you're an achievement. Everybody's always on it to be yourself. Put the fucking mask, this is just on this. Just saying, I haven't asked you anyone else. Tell me your why, this is after the line. Trying to make me up confused about the USA. When the fact of my mask, this is just on his. Comprehend, I overstand, I think you're with us. Mother, whatever, go get tired. Desire, 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 desire.
I'm looking for you so I can make you mine. here and act like it's nothing new. And if I see you talking through the grass, I'm gonna give my message to the past. I'm gonna pick up the law and beat out my love for you. 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 Beat out my love for you.
That's how we spin here. The Wife from Pedro Show.
Brother Matt, please let me know what made you do what you did to us this time.
That was some indigestion from digital hot dogs. got some digital hot dogs in me. And that's how it started.
Right. So with some pups.
Yeah, I think they're from Austin, I believe.
Those guys?
That's, yeah.
And that's where Kurt's living. A bunch of years. And I think, I was telling you, I think they're in Europe right now.
I think so.
On their big tour, they're...
Dusty Nowitzki.
They're Boston Return.
Yeah,
tour.
Cool.
And also with the Key
Man. Oregon Man, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
And he's playing piano on that track. He plays all kinds
of
people.
Key Man.
It's a Pennsylvania
harpsichord.
Guy.
Yeah.
Not a desert guy, but it's okay.
Yeah, very cool. Great
yeah,
desert.
Yeah, very, very bitch. I guess the closest... Well, they were at the Troub, right?
Yeah.
Because I thought Pappy and Harry.
And then San Diego, too, I think they finished.
But
down
they were in
there.
The desert?
Yeah, they were out there a few months back.
Okay. Watt missed it all. I do have to catch him down the road. We're at the end of the second. Hold on there, Roger. We still got Roger on the thing. That was the spin cyclage there. Got to educate you from Brother Matt's point of view. It's the end of the second hour, June 6, 2019. Dish Watt Pedo Show special guest Roger Miller. Hold tight for hour three. June 6, 2019. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
it's not so shocking. But the liquor's a rocket.
I could tell she'd been sleeping with the stars. Well, hello, I am Dawn. Yes, I've seen you lay around, and I just live down from here.
Walk for Pedro show start off the third hour with the trinary system doing press the button. What's that about, Roger?
Press the button. The secondary title of that is Electricality. So this is more like the lyrics are all referencing electricity and what it does to you, good, bad, and neutral.
Right.
But the beginning of that, the bass player in my band, or the trinary system, Andrew Willis, he's a lot of different instruments. He does soundtrack work like me also, but he's got these micro synths that are like, you know, about 4 inches long. He's got two of them on a little stand, and he mixes noise kind of stuff, you know, in the vein of like, you know, Devo or Eno or Per Ubu, except for the 21st century here. But
now,
when
I first saw Per Ubu, Alan Ravenstein.
Yeah,
no keyboard. It was two big boxes on a table with wires hooking them up.
Yep, and just dials and stuff.
Right, and your guy Martin was kind of like that.
Yeah, with the loops.
Yeah, it was trippy. You know, because I always saw them as fake keyboards or fake string sections. Or
yeah, well, that's the bad side of it.
Then we had National Debt with Tunic Winds, Denton, Texas from Damian Urado. Tangerine from Spain, that's Josh Hayden, Charlie Hayden's son. And Trinary System was Somewhere the Eternal. I think the Sonic Youth made a record for Ron Ashton called The Eternal.
Yeah, I remember The Eternal.
You know what I realized? That this is actually the second Trinary System album.
Yeah, the first one was a 7-inch 45, but it came with a 5-song download card. So
oh,
it's kind
okay.
A trick EP.
Okay. And what would you consider? Well, were they recorded in the same place?
No, recorded somewhere else. And the first record, we had kind of found ourselves, but this record is much more stripped down right to the point. Like, it's mostly the band just really grinding it out, like with our physicality, you know.
Sure.
Whereas the other one, we just kind of were almost there, and there's a lot of sauce was put on it to make it come alive. A lot less sauce was put on this because all you need was the three of us, and then everything else was just like little touches.
And where did you do it?
Andy Hong, who writes for Tape Op magazine,
sure.
He has a very small studio in Cambridge, West Cambridge, and he recorded some of Talia Zedek band. Some of her records there, and he had us in there for 3 days, and we just laid it up, you know, and really nice tight but lively sound, in my opinion.
I tell you, had that guitar player Chris, right?
Chris Brokaw, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, really good. I think he's playing with
he's doing Lemonheads.
Yeah, Lemonheads, right.
He does solo stuff, and then he's also, you know, really good as a quote side guitarist. Cause
well, you know, there was some trippy shit like that happening with that Hoboken new wave. I mean, you'd have guys like Dick Lloyd, Bob Quine, Ivan Julian,
right?
Hired guns to these guys like Matthew Sweet and
right.
trippy kind of thing. You know, pay the rent.
But you know, it's cool stuff too.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Have you read the Dick Lloyd book yet? Man, he's got a Jimmy story. He says Jimmy socked him up. Two in the stomach, one in the face.
You know, I think I didn't read the story, but I didn't read his book, but I think I heard that story, and then something Jimmy afterwards came back and apologized like
well,
crazy.
Dick Lloyd, he's only a teenager, but he sees this yellow Corvette about an hour later, 2 hours later. It's Jimmy, and he's crying, and he's sorry for punching him up.
Yeah, I don't know how I heard the story because I didn't. Maybe someone just posted that fragment or something.
I read that book in 2 days. I mean, I couldn't put it down. It was like so intense.
There's
this one part where he walks from the city to SoCal to like Silver Lake. First, he's got a guitar in one hand and a clothes sack in the other. And then he lets go of the clothes sack. Uh-huh. He like walks with the like no case, right? Just a guitar. Yeah.
Highway chow.
And then there's another story. He's boning some lady in Max's Kansas City behind a jukebox with everybody there. I mean, something, it's pretty wild. I hear he lives in Chattanooga these days. You know what I want to play? When the Dust Settles.
Yeah, that's that's kind of a catchy tune from the record, I suppose, if you had to call it that.
It's the catchy tune.
Character, looking for a real good vibe.
Watch for Fever Show, yeah. When the Dust Settles, that's the catchy one. And then Coat Hangers Live with Captain's Dead. Henry Kaiser with Ian Brighton at Infinum Ad Infinum. And this is from Henry's record of duos. He does all these guitar duets. Nels Klein's one of them. And then finally, Trinary System with Work It. So what's next for the Trinary System?
Well, we got some shows coming up around here. We all have other stuff to do. I'm ready to go out and do 3-month tours, though it would certainly be, you know, if I could get paid enough to live, I'd probably even do it because I love it so much. But, it's hard to make a living doing that stuff unless you've got a real thing going.
Where can people find you on the internet, Roger?
The Trinary System. .com for our website. We have a Facebook page, and you know where we sell the digital downloads on Bandcamp, Trinary System Bandcamp, and the records I'm feeding to where they're taking pre-orders for the vinyl. I think the vinyl will be shipping in about 2 or 3 weeks.
And that's Byron Coley and Ted, right?
That's Byron and Ted, man.
Yeah, good cats. So people, that's TRINARY. SYSTEM.com. Go there, and yeah, you can see their flyers stapled up at Instant Ham and Shitter and Fake Look. But yeah, to check out their website there, and you let people know about your shows and stuff there too, right, Roger?
Yeah, there, Facebook, all of wherever we can, you know, we kind of pump it out, and even Feeding Tube's kind of being pretty active about it too. If you go there, they have all our shows.
Yeah, Feeding Tube's got an incredible catalog. I think half of it's Byron's record collection.
That's a fact. I have 4 records on it already too.
Yeah, so that's right. And in fact, they put out the Spielgusher on vinyl.
Nice.
Pretty bitchin' with some Raymond Pettibone art. Yeah, I love Byron, and I think he's the only guy left in West Mass besides Jay Maskus, who's from there. Yeah, that whole Northampton thing emptied out. I was there with Mike Baghetta a couple months ago, and I met Jay Maskus' son. He's a rapper. 9-10-year-old rapper. Great. And, of course, we're downstairs ready to go on. Jay's going to come up do Funhouse with us. So what's his boy do? What does every backstage look like, right? There's dicks on the wall, so he starts drawing dicks on the walls. Jay's way into this. I just wants to help him out. It's just a bitchin' thing to see Jay and his son. You know, I thought I'd never see something like that. Look, if somebody from the younger shift, the next shift, wanted to ask you for advice, Roger, about this music racket shit, what would you tell them?
Wow. Well, I had ideas and stuff in 69. That was my band Sprout and Lair, but nothing happened until 79 with Mission of Burma. It took 10 years of me wandering around and picking up information, you know, going to music school, playing jazz, playing everything like country, playing blues, playing, you know, backing up people, gather as much information as you can, and keep trying to put yourself in the stream. With any luck, at some point, you'll hit a current, and you keep steering yourself in the current, you might get somewhere.
Would this be fair to sum it up as, like, be patient?
Yeah, but you can't be too patient, because
You got to work at it.
And you got to be kind of edgy to make, you know.
So don't be too passive?
I think so, but, you know, I hit my head against the wall so many times, I got so discouraged, but For me, I have a weird thing where if I finally completely give up, that's when shit happens. Whether that's some kind of mutated Zen kind of thing or what, I'm just a complete misfit. I can't tell you. And I don't think that works for everybody, but that's every time I gave up. Like, I was going to quit rock and roll when I moved to Boston. Right. That was the end of my ride. And then within 3 within 3 weeks, I was part of the first scene I'd ever been in my life, in the Boston rock scene. So,
I believe that.
It's crazy shit.
Well, man, I'm so glad that somehow you stuck with it, because you're a righteous part of my music world, man. I'm so glad I get to know you and your music, and it's been a huge honor for me and Brother Matt to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Very cool.
Totally my pleasure. I'm honored to be on the show with you.
And when your other projects come out, will you please come on again and talk about it?
I'll send you stuff when it's come up.
That's bitch. Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aiding in a bed.
Pleasure always.
People, it's been the June 6, 2019 edition of Wap for Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.